I want to read again in John's Gospel, chapter 1. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John chapter 20. John's Gospel chapter 20, verse 28. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. The Lord will bless to us what we have heard and also received from his good word. A young man was beginning to minister the word of God, and he had a very godly mother. And that godly mother took him aside and said something like this to him. When you minister the word of God, keep in mind four things. The first thing she said was this: expound the scriptures. Secondly, she said, encourage the saints. Thirdly, he said, exalt Christ. And then fourthly, she said, exclude yourself. And that should mark every servant of God that handles the word of God. It's a good thing any night, but especially a Saturday night, to have our minds and our hearts filled with the person of Christ. And I'm going to speak tonight for a few minutes on the person of Christ. You know, it's always good to notice how a gospel begins. And it's always good to notice how a gospel ends. Now, for example, how does Matthew's Gospel begin? It begins with the thought of worship. You remember Matthew chapter 2? Where is he that is born King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. Notice two things in Matthew 2. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. But when they saw him, it says they fell down and worshipped. And Matthew begins with worship. How does Matthew's Gospel end? You know, Matthew's Gospel ends with the thought of worship. Remember those women in Matthew 28? They held him by the feet and they worshipped him. So Matthew begins with a thought of worship, and Matthew ends with a thought of worship. How does Mark's Gospel begin? I think I said last Friday when we were here, Mark's Gospel begins with a rent heaven, and Mark's Gospel ends with a rent veil. How does Luke's Gospel begin? You know, Luke's Gospel begins with a company of people, and they think that the Lord is present, but remember, he's absent. They supposed him to be in the company. How does Luke's Gospel end? Luke's Gospel ends with a company of people, and they think that the Lord is absent, but remember, the Lord was present. How does John's Gospel begin? John's Gospel begins with the thought that Christ is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. How does John's Gospel end? John 20 says this, "My Lord and my God." I listened to a man 50 years ago or more. It was in Peterhead. He was from America. We won't hold that against him. Gordon Rieger. Listen to what Gordon Rieger said 50 years ago or more. He said this, "When you read John's Gospel, keep three things before you. And I'm going to give you those three things. I'm going to show you those three things. And then we're going to speak on four things." He said this, "The glory of his person, the greatness of his power, and the grace of his presence." I wish our brother Edmund had went through John's Gospel tonight. But I could go from chapter 1 to chapter 21, and I could show you the glory of his person, the greatness of his power, and the grace of his presence. Think of chapter 1. Think of the glory of his person. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There's the glory of his person. Think of the greatness of his power. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that has been made. There's the greatness of his power. Think of the grace of his presence. The Word became flesh and tabernacled amongst us. And right through the Gospel according to John, you can see the glory of his person, the greatness of his power, and the grace of his presence. Now I'm going to speak very quickly tonight on four things from John's Gospel. Four things about the person of Christ. Now, the first thing is this. You know, Christ knows everything in John's Gospel. The second thing we're going to notice is this. You know, Christ is before all in the Gospel according to John. The third thing we're going to notice is this. The Lord Jesus does everything himself in the Gospel according to John. And then finally, in John's Gospel, the Lord Jesus is above all in the Gospel according to John. For John 3 says this, "He that is from above is above all." Now let's think of those four things tonight very quickly. Two things run throughout John's Gospel, and the two things is this. You have the ignorance of man on the one hand, and you have the knowledge of the Son of God on the other hand. How does John's Gospel begin? Listen to it. "He was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not." The ignorance of men. You remember Mary in John 20? She thought he was the gardener. You remember the 11 in John chapter 20? They supposed him to be a spirit. You remember the 7 in John chapter 21, they thought he was a stranger. And throughout the Gospel according to John, you have the ignorance of men. But you go through this delightful gospel. John chapter 2 says this. He knew all men. Do you remember the words of Peter in John chapter 21? Lord, thou knowest all things. What do we sometimes say? He knew the reason why the Father sent the Son. He knew that he had come to die, a man for men undone. The scourging and the scorn, the worst that man could do, the meaning of the crown of thorns lay open to his view. And in John's Gospel we notice Christ knows everything. But then secondly, very quickly, you know, the Lord Jesus is before all in John's Gospel. I noticed that in John 1. I noticed that in John 8. I noticed that in John 12. And I noticed that in John 17, Christ is before all. What's John 1? Listen to it. The words of John the Baptist. He that cometh after me, he's preferred before me, for he was before me. And remember, Christ was before John the Baptist. When I come to John chapter 8, I read a verse like this. Before Abraham was, I am. So in John chapter 8, he's before John, before Abraham. When I come to John chapter 12, I read a verse like this. Isaiah saw his glory, and he spake of him. So he's before Isaiah in John chapter 12. And when I come to John chapter 17, I read a verse like this. The glory which I had with thee before the world was. So you've got the picture. Before John the Baptist, John chapter 1. Before Abraham, John chapter 8. Before Isaiah, John chapter 12. And before the world was, John chapter 17. Before the world in which he made, its circuit had begun. Forever was he Son of God, forever God the Son. Remember this tonight, young Christian. Bethany was not the commencement of Christ, and Calvary was not the end of Christ. So he's before all in John's Gospel. The third thing I want to notice tonight very quickly is this. You know, the Lord does everything himself in the Gospel according to John. And yet, I was reading John's Gospel today, and I noticed three times he says this. I can of my own self do nothing. He says that twice in John chapter 5. He says that once in John chapter 8. I can of my own self do nothing. He's doing it in company with his Father. But you know, he does everything himself in John's Gospel. If this was a Bible reading, and it's not. And the question was asked, who raised Christ from the dead? Well, one brother might say Romans 6 says this. He was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. And the brother might say he was raised from the dead by the mighty power of God, as seen in Ephesians chapter 1. It was God that raised Christ from the dead. But there might be another brother. What about 1 Peter 3 and 18? He was put to death in the flesh. and he was quickened by the Holy Spirit, was it not the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead? And that brother would be correct. But you know, when I read John's Gospel, it's not God that raises Christ from the dead. And it's not the Spirit that raises Christ from the dead. Listen to a verse in John 2. Destroy this temple. Destroy this body. And in 3 days I will raise it. Listen again to another verse in John's Gospel. I have power to lay down my life. I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received from my Father. And you know it's Christ that raises himself from the dead in the Gospel according to John. Again, you remember that little quote? It was tied by a door without where two ways met. You read about it in Matthew. You read about it in Mark. You read about it in Luke. And you read about it in John. But notice the difference. You read Matthew, Mark and Luke and you discover this. The Lord Jesus sends 2 disciples. And they find the colt. And they loose the colt. And they bring the colt to the Lord Jesus. You never read that in John's Gospel. What do you read in John's Gospel? Listen tonight to it. John 12 says this. And Jesus found the colt. And there's no mention of 2 disciples in John's Gospel, because remember, Christ is God. And Christ being God does everything himself in the Gospel according to John. Come again. You read Matthew's Gospel, and you read Mark's Gospel, and you read Luke's Gospel, and you'll discover this. There's a man by the name of Simon. Remember what they do? They compel Simon to bear the cross of the Lord Jesus. But you never read that in John's Gospel. What do you read in John's Gospel? Listen tonight to it. Jesus went forth bearing the cross for himself. And there's no mention of Simon in John's Gospel. For remember, Christ is God, and Christ being God does everything himself in the Gospel according to John. One more. There are more, but one more. In Matthew's Gospel, the Lord never leaves earth. You ever notice that? Matthew 28 says this. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Amen. And you know, the Lord never leaves earth in Matthew's Gospel. When you read Mark, when you read Luke, when you read the Acts of the Apostles, you discover this. He's either taken up, or he's carried up, or he's received up. But you know, I never read that in the Gospel according to John. What do you read in John's Gospel? Listen tonight to it. I ascend unto my Father and your Father, unto my God and your God. And remember, Christ does everything himself in the Gospel according to John. But then finally, very quickly, he that is from above is above all. You know, there's five men in the Old Testament. You know what the Spirit of God says about those five men? There's none like them. Numbers 12. Job chapter 1. 1 Kings chapter 3. 2 Kings chapter 18. 2 Kings chapter 23. And you read those five chapters and you'll read about five men. Listen to the names of the five men. You read about Moses. And you read about Job. And you read about Solomon. And you read about Hezekiah. And you read about Josiah, and you know what God says about them. God says there's none like them. Moses in his meekness. Job in his patience. Solomon in his wisdom. Hezekiah, the man that trusted in the Lord. Josiah, the man that turned unto the Lord. And the Spirit of God says about those five men, there was none like them. But let me say this tonight. If a man has a strong point, that man will have a weak point. And the possibility is this, that man will fail in his strong point. Where did Moses fail? It was in his meekness. Where did Solomon fail? It was in his wisdom. But I've come to tell you tonight, dear child of God, we're linked with a man that never had a strong point because he never had a weak point. And I want to present Christ tonight to this audience. Remember, he's meeker than the meekest. He's lovelier than the loveliest. He's stronger than the strongest, and he's greater than the greatest. What do we sometimes sing? Far above all, far above all, God has exalted him far above all. Thrones and dominions around him shall fall. God has exalted him far above all. He knows all. He's before all. He does all, and remember, he that is from above is above